You may remain seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this Good Friday sermon is a text from Isaiah, the 52nd and 53rd chapter. It is a portion of Isaiah that is called the Suffering Servant chapter, or the Suffering Servant section. It begins in the 52nd chapter, the 13th verse. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they have made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Here ends the reading. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, that prophecy was written 700 years before the fact, and Jesus fulfilled it perfectly. You see, there had to be a blood sacrifice. And that blood sacrifice had to come from a spotless, unblemished male goat. And actually, on the Day of Atonement, there were actually two goats that were necessary. And as we think of it, it seems like this is such a long way away. As we think of it, Ash Wednesday only seems like yesterday. You see, Ash Wednesday was on the 14th of February. That's when we began our Lenten journey to the cross. It's when we started talking about those blood sacrifices that are oh so important for each of us. We started from ashes, and now we have journeyed to the cross. It was a tragic journey for sure, a journey that was filled with apprehension and sorrow, a journey that tugs at our emotions. That's because, like Jesus, we knew all along that as we took this journey, we knew where we would end up at. That's because, like Jesus, he knew that he ultimately was destined to be nailed to a cross, and we know that we are destined to face him there nailed to the cross. And we may wonder why we call this day good. So that you will understand why it is called good, let's return to where it began. Long before, even before Jesus became flesh, let's go back even before the words of the Old Testament were even written down. The journey began there in Egypt. The journey began in the days of Moses, and ultimately with the wilderness wandering of the Israelites. You see, God had promised to dwell with his people, and so he gave Moses very strict instructions for the construction of their tabernacle. There, in the midst of the tabernacle, was to be the most holy place. Here in the most holy place is where God would place his throne room here on earth, so that he, our Creator, could be in our midst. Now, you and I know that when God comes into the midst of sinful people, it usually doesn't work out too well for you and for me. After all, how can a sinful nation like Israel even dwell in the presence of a holy one? Actually, the Holy One of Israel. How can the unrighteous be in the presence of the righteous one? How can man, how can you and I, how could they see God face to face and live? How can anyone stand in the presence of the Holy One, the one true God? Yet, it was God's wish that he would dwell with his people. Therefore, it is the Holy One who chose to dwell, and because he chose to dwell, he instituted a special day. It's called the Day of Atonement. On this one day of the year, the high priest would go behind the veil and he would enter into the most holy place only one time out of the year. But the priest, when he crossed over and entered into the most holy place, he must have something with him. He must have a blood sacrifice. And there on the mercy seat, the Bema seat, where the two seraphim meet, there on the Ark of the Covenant, the high priest was to sprinkle blood as atonement for the sins of the people and for the atonement of his own personal sin. Without the blood, the priest would be dead. But where does this blood come from? We've just heard that there must be a blood sacrifice, and that blood sacrifice must be from a spotless, unblemished male goat. That one goat had to pour out its blood there in the most holy place. This goat was the sacrifice, and this is the blood of the sacrifice that was poured onto the Bema seat, the seat of mercy. And it is by this blood that Yahweh forgave the sins of his people Israel. But what about that second goat? You see, there is a second goat, and that second goat is very, very important for Israel, and it's also important for us. God instructed Moses to tell the high priest to place his hands upon the head of this goat. It is to be a live goat, and he is to transfer the sins of the people and the sins of the high priest onto the head of this goat. And then the high priest is to take this goat and send it out of the camp. It is to go out into the wilderness. It is to go back to Uzziel. It is to go back to Satan, the father of sin. All the sins of the people were carried away by this sin bearer, by this scapegoat. Now Jesus is standing in the Jordan River. And as Jesus is being baptized, all of your sins and all of my sins and the sins of all mankind are being poured onto him. He was anointed as the Messiah. He is the one who is to take the sin and to carry them into the wilderness. There in the wilderness, Jesus did battle with the devil. And in his temptations, Jesus did what Adam could not do. Jesus remained obedient to his Father in heaven. But that was only the beginning, dear ones, of our Lord's sin-bearing journey. Our Lord's journey as your sin-bearer and as my sin-bearer continued throughout his earthly ministry. Then on a particular Jewish day, it's Nisan 14, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. This is the day that we know as Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. It actually encompasses two of our days because of Jewish timing. If you happen to be in our adult Bible class last Sunday, you know all about this. So Jesus comes to Nisan 14. And we know what happens in the upper room. We talked about that last night. And we know what happens in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we know what happens with the illegal trials. We know what happens with Pontius Pilate. We know what happens with the high priest and the scribes and the Pharisees and the people and the crowds calling out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So Jesus has reached his goal. He has come finally to his cross. And there on the west side of the city of Jerusalem, on a high knoll just outside the city gate, there leaves the scapegoat. He leaves the city. He walks up onto top of this knoll. And there the scapegoat, Jesus Christ, carries all of your sin and all of my sin to a place that is called Golgotha, the place of a skull. In Latin, it's called Calvaria. Thus, that's why we call it Calvary. And there Jesus is nailed cruelly to his cross, and he is lifted up. And when he is lifted up, dear ones, what do you see? I pray that you see your sin and the judgment of your sin and the consequences of your sin. You see the one who has become sin. And there is the one who hangs naked as your shame is uncovered. You see your sin carried by your sin bearer, your scapegoat. Yet, dear ones, you must also see that Jesus Christ is also the other goat, the goat that was sacrificed. The suffering servant is the sin bearer, and he's also the scapegoat. He who knew no sin became sin for us, and he took upon himself the sins of the whole world. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb who is stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted for us. He is the one whose blood is shed for each and every one of you and for the whole world. Despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. and with His wounds we are healed. You see there in Isaiah, as you've just heard, Isaiah is showing us both goats in one man, Jesus. So the sin bearer is lifted up. He is raised high for the world to see. The blood of the sacrifice is sprinkled on all the nations. Jesus pours out His holy, precious blood to atone for the sins of all mankind. The Lamb without spot or blemish has cleansed each and every one of us from our spots and from our stain and from our horrible sin. It is our sin that has brought this precious Lamb of God to the cross. For where else could the sin bearer go? It is our guilt. It is our shame that Jesus reveals upon the cross and then atones for the sins of the whole world. Dear ones, He pays your price. You are redeemed, not with silver or gold, but with holy, precious blood. All we like sheep have gone astray, though. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, Jesus bore your sin. He shed his blood, and it is he who declared, "It is finished." And at that moment, Satan's head was crushed, even though Jesus' heel was bruised. And even though we go astray like wandering sheep, that is our habit, and that's what we do, yet the Lord has still laid on him the iniquity, your iniquity, my iniquity, the iniquity of us all. And dear ones, it is finished. So as Jesus hung his head in death, amazingly again, the skies grow dark, the earth shakes, rocks are split, and the curtain of the temple, the barrier to the most holy place, it is torn in two from top to bottom. The most holy place is open. It's revealed. Jesus the sin bearer and Jesus the sacrifice took his own blood through the curtain into the most holy place, and he poured it out upon the mercy seat. And it is by this sacrifice that this sacrifice has become the final and ultimate sacrifice, the final atonement of all sin. Indeed, dear ones, it is finished. You are atoned for. The greatest and last high priest, the high priest that is still living in heaven today, has come into the most holy place, not with the blood of a goat, but with his own precious holy blood. It is his blood that cleanses. It is his blood that atones. It is his blood that washes away all your sin. And so it is finished. The journey that we began way back in February, although that's not such a long time ago, has now come to this place and this evening. The Lamb of God, the sin bearer, and the sacrifice fulfills and gives your journey meaning. For it is through this valley of the shadow of death that we will certainly sojourn, but we have no fear because it's finished. The cross, once an instrument of cruel death and torture, has now become a life-giving tree, your tree of life, as Jesus has now paid the final redemptive price. And each time you partake of this tree here at this altar, his body and blood, rest assured, dear ones, that your sin is atoned for, that your sin is forgiven, and that your faith is strengthened. For it is in his death, and it is by his blood, that you have been atoned. And so it is. And so it is, dear ones, even in this tragedy, and even on this day, when we remember the horribleness of the cross, we still remember why it's good. For here, dear ones, it's finished. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.